मरण हारी कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवाला भागिरिवर धारी
श्रीपाद परमहंसा परवचाचार्य अस्तोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, text number 16, and we're going to be doing half the purport, the second half. But we will say the verse again. Griha pravajito dhira, punyatirtha jalaplutaha, शुचो विविक्ता आसीनो विधिवत कल्पितासने गृह प्रवर्जितो धीरा पुण्यतीर्थ जलाप्लुतः शुचो विविक्ता आसीनो विधिवत कल्पितासने। Please chant. Translation. One should leave home and practice self-control in a sacred place. You should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. So we will start from what is recommended. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. And as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home or by creating another home at the holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard to all sense desires, especially sex desires. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deerskin, and carpet, and thus, sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of the Lord without offense as prescribed above. The whole process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. Again, translation, one should leave home and practice self-control in a sacred place. You should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. Namaham Shivaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shanti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Mahanti Chaturi Nirvishe Shishuni Vadi Pashyat Kaya Shatai Vancha Kalpatari Vasya Kripa Sindhu Bhe Vijay Patita Nam Pavane Bhir Vashya Vidana. So last Wednesday Sri Ram Govinda gave class, and he mentioned, he was talking about at the time of death, you know, death can come at any time. So I had asked him a question that if we were to approach students, how would you bring up this topic to them? And so he had mentioned that, I think it was maybe Bhakti Center, that they, you know, they have gatherings, and one of the topic was, what would you do if you had 24 hours to live? And so the very next day, on Thursday, we went out to the campus, and Akuti, our leader, she takes us out to the campus, Santa Fe campus. And so we asked students, I had asked a lot of students this question, I approached them, I have a question for you, and what would you do if you had only 24 hours to live? all the students, except two students, said family. And this was after deep thought. They said that I would go to be with my family. And except two, one student said, actually the very first student said, I would be at the basketball court. And so then his friend who was with him said, I would go and eat my mom's cooking. That's what he said. And then as we talked further about, you know, the body, the soul, and everything like that, so the first person who said about the basketball court, then he said, I would pray. So his thoughts changed. But it's interesting that everybody said about going to the family. So, and this is the topic, I guess that's the topic that stuck to my mind. The first sentence from where I started reading was, one is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment. And getting, one should quit home to get rid of material attachment, which is family attachment. So we may scoff at the idea that response of the students that, oh, that's what you want, family. Or we may even think about certain religion where they say that the idea that we all go to the heavens as a family, their goal is to be with the family in the heavens. So, but isn't it natural to have that attachment, affection for family? I mean, families are people that we live together, whether it's our birth family, we come together and stay with our siblings and parents, or we grow up and we get married and have family and have our own children. I think it's a natural thing. Just yesterday we were, not yesterday, a couple of days ago in our family reading, we were hearing about what Srila Prabhupada's mother would do. Very sweet, actually. And I wanted to read that. Abhay observed his mother's simple and touching attempts to ensure by prayers, by vows, and even by rituals that he continued to live. Whenever he was to go out, even to play, his mother, after dressing him, would put a drop of saliva on her finger and touch it to his forehead. Abhay never knew the significance of this act, but because she was his mother, he stood submissively like a dog with its master while she did it. So sweet. She once offered blood from her breast to one of the demigods, with the supplication that Abhaya be protected on all sides from danger. At Abhaya's birth, she had made a vow to eat with her left hand until the day her son would notice and ask her why she was eating with the wrong hand. One day, while little Abhaya actually asked, she immediately stopped. For his protection, she also put an iron bangle around his leg. His playmates asked him what it was, and Abhaya self-consciously went to his mother and demanded, "Open this bangle." When she said, "I'll do it later," he began to cry, "No, now." Now, is this family attachment? His mother, not his mother, Srila Prabhupada's mother, Srila Prabhupada's mother doing all these things for her son's protection, is this family attachment? Isn't it natural? It's a natural thing. And we also read that how Srila Prabhupada's mother, Rajani, she wanted Srila Prabhupada to go to London to become a barrister. And Srila Prabhupada's father was like, no, he's not going there. I don't want my son to get into, you know, bad habits like alcohol and woman hunting. So he said, I don't want that kind of money. But Rajani, she wanted, that's what her desire was. So we see we can see, as all of us are family member, family people, we see that this is something very natural. But then we see that in our scriptures, this thing comes up again and again, to give up family attachment. Just like Srila Prabhupada is writing in this purport, it is recommended. One should leave home. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. And as long as there is material attachment, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that about family attachment. One of the things he says, there's a whole list of things in the 13th chapter, and there are four shlokas that are all together, and that talks about what are the items of knowledge. Thank you. And one of them is detachment and freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. So Sri Krishna himself is saying that a symptom of knowledge is the one is freed from this attachment of children, wife, and home, and the rest. And not only we see Krishna saying that, but we see his devotees praying for that. In the sixth canto, Vrittasura, he is about to, he knows he's going to leave his body, he's fighting with Indra. And at the time of the battle being very fierce and everything, he prays to Krishna. And there are very famous prayers. But I'll read the prayer that specifically talks about freeing oneself from family life. Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhamata svakalmahi tvam mayayatma atmaja dara griheshu asakta chittasya nanatha bhuya atma atmaja dara griheshu asakta chittasya nanatha bhuya. Let there not be attachment. He says, "Oh my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees." Then he says, "My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you." So this is a devotee praying to Krishna. You know, the mind sometimes thinks, okay, you know, well, he was an asura, you know, so probably his family was not a devotee, and so, you know, he's praying like that. But Maharani Kunti, she dispels that thought. We know that she's a great Vaishnavi, and we know her family are great devotees. And so she prayers, prays to Krishna directly, as she's facing him, directly saying to Krishna, "Atha Vishveshwa Vishvatma Vishvamurte Svakeshime Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vishnishu." Sneha Pasham, this Sneha Pasham, this knot, this rope of affection that we have, that I have, please cut it. Chindi, just cut it. And who are these people that she wants this sneha, pasham to be cut? Pandushu and Vrishnishu, the Pandavas and the Vrishni people, the Vrishni dynasty. She's saying, "Oh Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and Rishnis. The word here, therefore, is telling about previously what she was saying, that she is here, Lord Krishna is there with the Pandavas, and he's leaving them to go to the Rishnis, to the her other side of her family. So she wants Krishna to stay here, but she knows that the Rishnis, they want him there. So she is in turmoil. She's like, forget it, just cut this tie with the Rishnis and the Pandavas. If you could please do so. And it's interesting what Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport. He says, Srila Prabhupada writes, her affection for the Pandavas and the Rishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. But then he also says, but here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Rishnis was due to familial relation, family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relationship of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. So her affection was due to family relation. This is what Srila Prabhupada writes. And then in the next verse, you know, Queen Kunti, after she says, so she doesn't leave it there like, please cut this tie of family attachment. No, that's not just to cut that. But she, in the next verse, she says, Toi me ananya vishaya. I just want only you to be in my thoughts. Let the O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn onto you without being diverted to anyone else. So we see this subject of family attachment. We see that Krishna said that the devotees are praying, whether they're demons or whether they're Krishna's family members, they are praying to Krishna to please cut this attachment, this family attachment. So, but then we see that it's natural. Srila Prabhupada says that one should, in one of the purposes, I didn't write down where it was, but one should not, however, become, no, not here, he was saying, okay, yes. In the 13th chapter where I quoted that detachment from family as one of the items of knowledge, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, as for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. I'm like, wow, okay, good. So with this last sentence, repeating the same sentence, but when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. So can I conclude that Prabhupada is saying that if they are devotees and our family are favorable, then we can be attached to them? It seems like that. Because Prabhupada is saying here, they are natural objects of affection. But if they're not favorable. So yes, I think from that statement, Prabhupada is saying that yes, it is fine if they're favorable and to be attached to them. Not materially again. And I guess that's the point. We see that, and I had mentioned that in my previous class, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we're talking about at the time of death, yeah? One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment. I hear that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was leaving his body, and he had written a letter to his son, Bhaktisiddhanta. But I would say not to his son. He wrote a letter to this pure devotee, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and had asked him to please come here as I'm leaving my body so that I can see a pure Vaishnava. So he wanted to leave his body in the association of a pure Vaishnava, who was his son. So we can see that from that example, that it's not a matter whether that, in other words, we don't have anything against family, but or being attached to family, but the attachment should be based with Krishna in the center. Another example that I thought about was the Goswamis. I never thought about them ever, like as far as when it came to family, but while I was preparing for this class and meditating on the class, I was thinking about the Goswamis. We have Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. These three Goswamis were related, two brothers and the nephew, the son of Anupama, their third brother. So Rupa and Sanatana, we know that they approached together as two brothers. They went and approached Lord Chaitanya. So together they came to Krishna consciousness. And then Rupa Goswami, when he left his service with the Muslim government, he helped his brother by keeping some money for him, so that when he escaped, he would be able to escape, and he knew that he would need money. So he was thoughtful about his brother, how he can come. And then he even wrote a cryptic note saying, okay, it's time for you to leave. And so this was exchanged between two brothers. And for what? For the mission of Lord Chaitanya. They had a mission. The mission was to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's desire. So the two brothers did so. And Anupama, their other third brother, they were trying to convince him that, you know, become a bhakta of Krishna and not Ram. Like, but how could they do that? I'm sure you can imagine them being such devouts of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. Can you imagine? They must be really wanting him to become a devotee of Lord Ram. And so, but because they're brothers, they could, really tried to get him to do it. But he said, no. He was like really praying, and that one night praying really hard to hear what his brothers are saying. And he was like almost ready to commit suicide, you know, because he couldn't do it. But he came out and said, no, I can't do it. But this is, again, relationship between amongst family members, encouraging each other to become devotees, you know. I mean, he was a devotee, but, you know, to become really joining Lord Chaitanya's mission. And so this is what family relations, we can see that example. I was actually thinking just now, I thought about how when I became a devotee, I was really, really tried Varuna to become a devotee, and he was not interested, and I would just pray every day to Krishna, you know, please make him a devotee so he can help me run away, you know. I just wanted to run away and be with the devotee. So that's my only thing, was pray to Krishna so that he could help me run away from home. Which Krishna is so kind, he heard my prayers, you know, so he did become a devotee, and he's the one who helped me to run away from home. So, but this is what, amongst family members, that we can see that the Goswamis did that. But that's certain relationship we see that. But the fact is that when amongst family members, when they're devotees, there's a special rasa that is in between family members. Like if you see the pastime of Rupa Goswami when he was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Vallabhacharya came, and when he saw his manuscripts for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I'm told that it was the invocation, and Vallabha Bhatt, he saw some mistakes. At that time, Jiva Goswami, the nephew of Rupa Goswami, was fanning Rupa Goswami, and when he heard Vallabha Bhatt pointing out some certain mistakes, Jiva Goswami didn't like that. And he didn't like it because, according to him, there was nothing wrong. And so when Vallabha Bhattacharya, he left Rupa Goswami to go to the Ganges, to Jamuna, I'm assuming, then Jiva Goswami followed Vallabha Bhatt, and there he told him that all these things that you pointed out about Rupa Goswami's writings, mistakes, that's not true. And so he very systematically showed Vallabha Bhatt that that there was no mistake. And Vallabha Bhattacharya, he agreed. And so Vallabha Bhatt went back to Rupa Goswami and told Rupa Goswami that your nephew, Jiva Goswami, he is so, he's such a scholar. He actually told me point by point that everything that I said was actually not correct, and what you're writing was correct. And so Rupa Goswami heard that. But then afterwards, when Vallabha Bhattacharya left, then Rupa Goswami chastised Jiva Goswami. How could you do that? He's such a senior Vaishnava, and how could you correct him? He was just trying to help me. And for you are not fit to live in Vrindavan. You should go back to Bengal. And when you correct yourself, then you can come back. Now you can see that kind of exchange that bit happened between two devotees, but they're not two devotees. They're related to each other as an uncle and a nephew. So you can see that here family rasa is taking place that could take place because they're family. Probably Rupa Goswami may not have corrected or chastised somebody as heavily that he did Jiva Goswami. At least that's my speculation. Rupa Goswami did not say anything to Vallabhacharya. He never said anything to him. But he corrected Jiva Goswami. And that is, in my meditation on this pastime, is because Rupa Goswami felt comfortable, felt compassionate, know that Jiva Goswami would not be offended, and he wanted the best for Jiva Goswami. And so Jiva Goswami did do what his uncle said, and Jiva Goswami didn't like, okay, forget it. How can, you know, I was trying to help this Vaishnava, and now he told me to leave Vrindavan? This is crazy. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do my own thing. No. He knew this is family, this is my uncle, and he knows his uncle, how much he loves him. And so he took that instruction very seriously and performed great austerities. And you know the pastime, what happens after he's performs austerities there, Sanatan Goswami finds out that Jiva Goswami was living in a crocodile hole and performing austerities, and he had gone very thin. And Sanatan Goswami, his other uncle, he became the mediator in this situation, family mediation, so to speak. And he went to Rupa Goswami and said, you know, you're talking to others about Jiva Doya, but what, you're not practicing Jiva Doya yourself. So he had two things here, Jiva Doya, but Jiva Goswami, your nephew, you should feel compassionate towards him. And so Rupa Goswami understood. Again, that's his older brother, is telling him something. And so he understood what his older brother is saying, and he brought the nephew back in there. And actually, I understand that Jiva Goswami used to do all the editing for Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami's editing was going behind us. Jiva Goswami wasn't there. But anyway, when Jiva came back, they helped him back to health, good health, and he started doing the work. So we see, again, the point here being that we see the relationships here between family of devotees and how the interaction, how the Goswamis, even as far as family relationships, they have set such a nice example for all of us to see that how we can, in our family relationships, have respect, may have to chastise, have to take that humble position. I mean, we see that Rupa Goswami, even, I think in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he writes about offering obeisances to his guru, Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother. And it's interesting because Sanatan Goswami is the Sambandha guru and Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya guru. So in one sense you would kind of think it seems like almost Abhideya is higher than Sambandha. But no, it's, Rupa Goswami had full respect for his older brother. So just thinking in the idea about family attachment, in conclusion, I like to say that if we can be, as practicing devotees, if we can be more conscious that our family are practicing Vaishnavas, and that we make an extra endeavor to make our family relationships more spiritual, to hear and to chant together, not just that we come to the temple. That is one way that we hear and chant together, by family coming together at the temple. But in addition to that, not only that we have our own practices of Krishna consciousness separately in the house, but we actually together come together and hear, whether hear a class or to read together. Because then what happens when we're as family, when we're reading together or hearing some tape together, then our discussions will happen on what we hear together. And so sometimes in family relationships the conversation is just about what needs to be done, you know, some practical stuff. And so we don't want our conversations to be limited to that. And especially when the at a stage when the family children are out of the house, then if you don't have that kind of conversations in the family with the spouse, then it can be just quiet. But so whereas if you could listen to a tape together while taking prasadam, we've been doing that since everybody has left home just recently. So we sit down and hear during prasadam time, we hear Sri Prabhupada's tape. It's so nice just hearing just together. And then also Varuna and Kirtaniya and ours, four of us, we sit down and reading the Lilamita. It's so nice to hear. You don't have the burden of other things, of family things. But even when you do have those burdens, it's important that we, you know, read Krishna book together in the evening time. Like Prabhupada said, drinking milk and reading Krishna book, or hearing some tape together, even when there is little children growing, or at least having kirtan together. That's something I remember was always nice when you have children, is to come together and have kirtan. So those are different ways that families keep connected also, because the children grow up and they disconnected. So while growing, you have kirtan together. That's always a very nice thing. So this is what I like to conclude my class today. If there are any questions or comments on that, Mother Sukhada. It's so nice to have Mother Sukhada always sitting in class, because she always has some nice, intelligent questions or comments. Thank you, Sukhilata.
Thank you so much. So I just recently been reading about King Priyavrata and how, you know, he was needed to be a king, but Narada Muni came and he was telling him, preaching to him, you know, no, you have to give up family life. But then Lord Brahma, I think Swayambhu Vimana, they came, and it said that Lord Brahma, he smiled at Priyavrata to let him know that he loved him and he was thinking of his, you know, the best scenario for him. To explain to him that he could engage in the service of being king and yet not be, you know, be attached to his family as far as making the devotees, but not to get entangled, that he would still be able to, you know, remember Krishna. So I thought that was really kind of amazing. And I also thought of Srila Prabhupada's sister Pishima, you know, Pishima's husband. He was pretty much a debauchee. But Prabhupada would ask, where's your husband? And she would make an excuse for him, oh, he's this, oh, he's that, you know. But she just continued being a chaste wife and, you know, doing her worship. And in the end, it said that her husband, he worshipped her. And of course, he makes a lot of advancement just for, you know, serving and worshipping and devoting. And then also I was thinking of Vidura. It said that Vidura, when he went back to like work with the family members, the only reason was is he wanted to make them devotees. He wanted to purify them and make them devotees. So it seems like it went along with your class. These things I was thinking about. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One place I was remembering, Srila Prabhupada was writing that a devotee gives up his life to have a bigger life. In other words, he gives his love to others. And I was just thinking about you, that how your life is always about giving to others. You're always thinking about others. And so here you're a family person, but your life has always been not only set an example of such a nice Vaishnavi, but your life is for others. So thank you, Melissa, for that. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I think the point, the word that you use, entanglement. And I think that is the most important thing, not to get entangled. In other words, our worries, our mind, you know, our mind has to be absorbed. So we can get entangled in our mind with so much day-to-day family affairs. But if we are constantly thinking about, and Prabhupada writes in the last sentence about our mind should be engaged properly. And so this is how we can not be entangled if our absorption is in Krishna's pastimes, the mission of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada has given us a mission. So as devotees, we always have to think how we can be engaged in Srila Prabhupada's mission together, you know, how we can fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. Any other points or questions or realizations? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
You know, he listens to his devotee, to tries to help him. So we can't prematurely give up on people either. You know, it may be that it doesn't seem like they're coming along. But even if they're not, even if family members, you know, are keeping at arm's distance, just the fact that we're performing our devotional service. I know that once I was speaking with an astrologer, and I was telling him how when I say Nishina Kavacha, I always say that, you know, I'm saying this especially in honor of my children. He said, you don't have to say that. He said, whatever you do, it automatically goes to your to your children, you know. So I thought that was very enlightening also, that, you know, as we perform a devotional service, it goes to everybody, really. So that is so encouraging.
So in other words, we perform our sadhana nicely, we perform everything nicely, then it helps our family members and everybody else.
When you chant loudly, it goes everywhere and helps all of the living entities. So it's just so amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Very sweet. Very nice. Any other comments? Yes, Pan Governor Prabhu.
I was thinking about Dhritarashtra's attachment to Duryodhana. Mm. And you mentioned Bibhu's affection to Dhritarashtra. They're not same. It may appear like same. And more we dig about their relationship and the whole apostle took place, the Dhritarashtra attachment to Duryodhana in a sense that let him do whatever he wants, I'm going to tolerate and support him. That is not spiritual, neither any acharya should, never did, neither we should. But affection the Vidura had for Dhritarashtra, it's a always spiritual emotion, the praying as you did yourself, prayers and wishing always good, and but not supporting the sinful activities. So there is a subtle difference. Mm-hmm. There has to be difference.
Yeah.
It should never be same. So for family member, affection for the family member is always the best. Mm-hmm. We should. But attachment for sinful activity, no. Mm-hmm. We should not support. If we cannot intervene there, just leave them and just step out. Mm-hmm. Not support. Dhritarashtra, that's what the biggest problem he had. Because there's a two philosophy, karmavad and daivavad. Karmavad means, am I maker of my destiny or life is predestined? The Dhritarashtra says, no, it is happen, it's supposed to happen, they supposed to. Vidura intervened, he said, no, you have a choice. Krishna came how many times with the peace formula. You could have supported Krishna, you could have tell your sons, just support with Krishna. But you never. How can you say everything is destined? I thought it was
good. Yeah, that's a very Vidura and Dhritarashtra. It's an amazing example. He's thrown out. Again, you can see family. Family is such a strong relationship in family relationships. He was kicked out. But yet he's so much cared for his brother, even though he was kicked out. Dhritarashtra didn't do anything. Can you imagine? Dhritarashtra, the king, did not do anything, stop Vidura from leaving. He was kicked out. But yet you see the compassion Vidura had. Because he is his brother. So there is affection, but that's spiritual affection. So there is a family affection there for his brother, but it's spiritual, and therefore he can come to be, even despite whatever was done to it. Just really amazing, amazing. So yes, family relationships, we can definitely take advantage with the family members, that we can not be, respect each other, respect our family members, not to become too familiar, but to be able to help each other. Sometimes to point out, oh, this is not done, maybe you're going this way, so, you know, this is not right. Who else, in one sense, who else we can do so easily, so to speak, by helping, getting the help. Again, talking about Varuna, you know, Srisha Prabhu doesn't say much to me, but Varuna will correct me, you know. And he's my twin, so I'll correct him and he'll correct me, you know. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that he will do that, you know. And I know he appreciates that I do that for him. But we can do that amongst family, you know. Srisha Prabhu, he sets a good example. So in that sense, I get the good guidance that way. But we need our family members to help us, and we can help them. So.
But isn't like you have to make a little distinction. Mm-hmm. Bhisha, he left his brother and joined the opposite character. But in Dhritarashtra's case, Dhritarashtra left also, but he didn't join in the war. Mm-hmm. Instead, he took the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But underlining, I can just thinking, the both has the same, they have affection for the family. But action was completely opposite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Vidura, in one sense, yes, the action is, that's interesting, yeah, he did join the army, and whereas Vidura didn't. Yeah, that's two, it's interesting that, yeah, two different things, but both had affection for their brother. Wow, something that we can all meditate on today. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.